Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 77 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, there's a wide range often of satisfaction in retirement, right? Lots of reasons for that. The question, you know, that we want to ask is how satisfied generally are Canadians, right? And where are some of the gaps and, you know, why are they satisfied? And that kind of stuff, okay?
Yep.
So I'm always interested in this research and generally where people sit on this. And Dr. Paul Kershaw, he's been a guest of ours on the show before, is going to join us. He's an associate professor, UBC School of Population and Public Health. Welcome back to the show, Paul.
Thanks for having me back.
So let's talk about this. I'm interested in the current research and where do Canadians generally stand on how they feel about their retirement?
Well, I think today's retirees generally feel quite content. If you look at data describing which age groups in Canada are struggling with low income, back in the day, say when my grandmother was sort of starting out as a retiree, retirees had some of the highest rates of low income status in the country. That was, you know, too likely to be going bankrupt before we had our healthcare system established, and often too unlikely to be able to stretch their earnings into retirement after a career. And it was especially a career of caregiving. We had disproportionately an older cohort of women who were struggling with low income.
Right.
But if you flash forward to today, those over 65 actually report the lowest rates of low income of any age group in the country. It's still, you know, there's a bit of room where we can bring it down. But the fact that we have a guaranteed income supplement, it's that sort of guaranteed income concept that we've started to talk about more generally in Canada, but it's existed for quite some time for retirees, and it's gone a long way to minimize some of the pressures of low income status. And more generally, we see two really good things for our cohort of today's retirees. First, their earnings generally are on the rise, so their incomes in retirement are higher. And second of all, three-quarters of Canadians over 65 are homeowners. And we all know that over the last decade, like, home prices have really elevated, which has grown the wealth in people's homes, which has added to their financial security.
Okay. That makes sense to me, right? I mean, financial can be a big part of the stress and influence quality of retirement. What else did you find? I'm curious about what other impacts they had. Health and, you know, these kinds of issues were impacting the quality of retirement.
Yeah, so generally Canadians are healthier in our lives these days, and we're seeing that in terms of longer lifespans.
Yeah.
And so that's generally good news. And it's exciting to observe that that longer life is going hand in hand with the better finances. And so you do see increased opportunities for our seniors to have, you know, meaningful engagement with their families, meaningful engagement as volunteers. And I think, I don't know if there's actually good data on this, but I'd love to see the degree to which today's retirees travel by comparison with a few decades ago, because there certainly seems to be an opportunity to search for fulfillment via travel and exploration, although we probably need a new conversation about the carbon impact of that travel as we run into new risks from climate change, both for today's elderly, who, when elderly and frail, can be at real risk of some of the extreme weather problems, but more generally, the legacy for their kids and grandchildren can be somewhat frightening.
So this is a two-part question. How do they determine satisfaction, so we have an understanding for everybody? And then when we look at men versus women, tell me a bit more about who's more satisfied.
Yeah, so I'm not as strong an expert on the gender breakdown, but if I were guessing, I think the data would would show that women on average are more satisfied. They're definitely having the longer lifespans, et cetera, more content, more contact with family, and more networks when a spousal relationship ends, which happens less often as a result of divorce in older age, but more often as a result of a partner passing away. So the networks that women have tend to buttress risks of isolation. However, there is also the simultaneous risk that you'll have women living longer parts of their later lives as individuals on their own. And so that risk of isolation can be particularly acute for older women, just because it's a more common problem for older women. But they have simultaneously, as I said, greater networks to draw upon.
Yeah, I'd say anecdotally we find that as well. Women generally, we find, tend to be more prepared for all of the reasons you've just stated for that transition period. Were there any surprises in the research? I mean, you're looking at this stuff on an ongoing basis. I get that it's evolving, Paul. Is there anything that caught your interest in sort of in the most recent research?
Nothing in particular. I think we're on this ongoing trend where we as a society have this new challenge to adapt to the fact that we have an aging population, which is a sign of many things that are strong, like a relatively robust economy has supported that. Improvements in terms of how we can treat illness have done that. But then it causes this sort of longer duration where people, you know, are at risk of isolation. But I think the bigger thing that we're needing to talk about at this stage is, as we have seen improvements in health and quality of life for later life core stages, what do we do when we used to have 7 workers for every retiree, and now we have fewer than 4, and soon it's going to be more like fewer than 3? That's going to be like a broader population conversation about how we get it right for our aging family members who we love, but how we simultaneously find some dollars as a community and as a society to invest in the productivity of their kids and grandchildren, because we need to get every ounce of productivity out of those kids and grandchildren so that we can continue to finance fairly the services that an aging population is going to draw on, especially as we do see some increases in rise of chronic problems around dementia, et cetera, which can be a long-term problem and a challenging one to care for. It doesn't happen in hospitals so much, but it sure does create new demands on care facilities.
And this is what the problem that Japan is going through right now. They're trying to figure this out as well. So I think when you start looking at multiple countries and their experiences, we can adopt some that make it more like our own, or we can create new ones. I think you make a good point about that. A lot of debate happening in across the country about immigration and population growth and all those other issues that do come up. I think it's going to be a very, very challenging time when we have these types of numbers. But I think, like you mentioned, productivity is probably the key.
Paul, I've got one last question before we have to finish things up here. I wondered if there was anything in the research, if there was any common themes that you were able to identify that creates dissatisfaction amongst retirees. Was there any common points you took from the research?
Well, I think dissatisfaction tends to come from two sources, typically financial and social. And so, of course, we do have, the good news is we're living longer. It comes with a risk, like, can I stretch my earnings and my retirement savings over that duration? So that can be a real source. Simultaneously, the isolation that I've touched on earlier, and particularly for women, the isolation that comes after the passing of a spouse, men tend to pass away earlier. Darn it for us men. But then the isolation goes hand in hand. So we touched on that. That is a serious source of dissatisfaction. And I think it creates moments and opportunities for thinking about how to get intergenerational wins around solidarity. So we have shortages of investments in things like childcare in this country, and there is an aspiration to, you know, connect, you know, the wisdom of our elderly more to, you know, next generations. And I think there are others out there in universities thinking about and in our social policy and our social programs and charitable sectors, thinking about how can we create some win-wins by fostering more solidarity and more contact time between our elders and our youth.
Yeah, okay. I think that's good input. Paul, we're going to have to sign it off here, but I appreciate you taking the time to join us. We hope to have you back again soon.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Been joined by Dr. Paul Kershaw. He's Associate Professor, UBC School of Population and Public Health. Faisal, the quality, I'm glad to hear that the general quality of the retirement experience is going up, okay? Is generally high amongst Canadians. Certainly, there's a very wide range. Certainly, there are particular problems and risks. We started the segment, the show, talking about some of those emotional impacts that people have, and it does affect people differently. This, I don't even think it's a man-woman thing. I think there's very different triggers for people. As an example, one may worry more about what happens to the family when they're gone and their ability, you know, the health and financial capacity, and somebody else might be worrying about the day-to-day lifestyle costs, right? And I think it's really important for people to think through those kinds of things. And if you're a couple, there's different roles that each of you can play, right, in supporting different aspects of that retirement experience.
Absolutely. Okay. And so we're going to be talking about how one of the ways of satisfaction is measured is as having a financial well-being in your retirement, security and protection, bulletproofing your money through retirement. We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, May 14th, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. You need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400, or go on our website to morethanmoneyradio.com.
Is it realistic to maintain your principal throughout retirement? Interesting question. Stick around. We're going to talk about that on the next segment. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.